Peter and Kathy Halstead had a dream. Last summer, that dream became reality with the help of their friend Christopher O'Reilly, who talks about why Tippett Rise is so special and why you should consider adding it to your bucket list. This is New Classical Tracks, and in this episode, we head to Tippett Rise, and we hear highlights from their inaugural season from a brand new recording called Tippett Rise Opus 2016, Domo. Christopher, let's just start off by talking about how you became the artistic director for this center and what the experience has been like for you so far.
Peter and Kathy and I have known each other over 30 years. Kathy is an incredible painter. Peter is a wonderful pianist, poet, philosopher, philanthropist, of course. And early on, Peter studied with my teacher at New England Conservatory, Russell Sherman. And Russell immediately figured out that Peter and I had similarly wide-ranging tastes and enthusiasms for not only the piano, but poetry and literature and film and politics and philosophy. So we were fast friends and would have hours-long conversations all during our friendship. And sooner or later, Peter built a little sound studio in his backyard in Bedford, New York, and that's where I did my first couple of records. An all-American record and an all-Ravel record. And as a matter of fact, recently my all-List record was done in Peter and Kathy's home in Edwards, Colorado. So Peter's a sound enthusiast as well as a film enthusiast. And so many years ago when they came to find this place, they'd always been looking for some place to be a haven for artists, visual and musical. And this seemed the perfect place for it. A lot of space, perfect climate. And they gathered us here and they asked me to be music director for this thing. And it was, you know, kind of amazing having this sort of carte blanche idea of making a very welcoming and comfortable space for artists to come. And invariably, every person that's come to play here has just found this, you know, the ultimate, you know, summer concert experience. We have, you know, a fantastic concert hall. It seats only about 150 people, but it's perfect. I mean, there have been several new concert halls around the country that have been based on this intimate sort of chamber music aesthetic. This hall, the Olivier Concert Barn, is sort of inspired by Snape Malting's Benjamin Britten's plays and the Heidensaal of the Esterhazy Palace. So in terms of scope and in terms of liveness of the hall and direct, you know, contact, intimacy with the audience, this is built on that model. There have been several other halls. I think there's one up in Boston now, similarly sized. So the idea is that this place is going to become sort of a bucket list destination. As I say, only 150 seats, but we also have an incredible sound team and visual team. So we've got everything up and running in surround sound and HD, you know, 4K video. So eventually the global footprint of this place will be, you know, streaming. So everything that we do is recorded for streaming, 6-camera shoot, as I say, surround sound. We also have some outdoor spaces. One in particular, the sculptor and architect Anton Garcia Abril built Domo, which is this sort of Stonehenge-looking object at the top of one of the hills here. And it turns out to be a perfect acoustic shell. It doesn't really have a sort of a lively, you know, reverberant acoustic, but it is an extraordinarily clear acoustic and projects hundreds of yards in all directions from the space. So this first season has been programmed directly by and inspired by the landscape and inspired by the artworks themselves. As I mentioned, Anton Garcia Abril, in trying to find music that would best celebrate his art, it turns out that his father, the eponymously named Antón García Abril is a wonderful Spanish composer. So we did a whole concert of his music. I'd been playing a lot of his piano music as break pieces on From the Top. And Emily Hellenbrook, another From the Top alum, was our soprano for the concert.
What struck me is how many of the alum have come here and have gone off to establish careers, and you've obviously maintained relationships with them in some way.
Well, you know, you always want to play chamber music with people you get along with. And on top of that, you want to bring to Tippett Rise the absolute best. And in my experience, you know, these are all people who have been, you know, extraordinary musicians at the age of 13, and now they're, you know, 18 and 23, et cetera, and they're just the best we can get, you know. Emily Hellenbrook, our soprano for the García Abril concert, I remember, you know, we have a pizza party and first music rehearsal with the kids, and when I first accompanied her in the aria she brought to the Chautauqua Festival, I just, you know, got down on my knees and bowed to her. It's just incredible at 17 years old, and now she's getting her master's at Eastman, and she's just fantastic. Caroline Golding, same thing. I recorded her debut record, which was, you know, nominated for a Grammy, so she had to be back. Eunice Kim, John Henry Crawford, Elmer Chirampi, two members of the Dover Quartet. You know, all of these kids are, you know, just doing such incredible things. García Abril has written mostly solo piano and songs, so it was a perfect opportunity to celebrate his music. And then, as I mentioned, you know, Peter Halstead is a wonderful poet, so the composer wanted very much to do a song cycle based on Peter's poetry. So it was a complete confluence of art, architecture, poetry, and music for the premiere of the Tippett Rise songs early on in the season. The landscape inspired our, you know, music from the mountains, inspired by, you know, people like Scriabin and Messiaen. We had an all Scriabin program with the Poem of Ecstasy. Prometheus, Poem of Fire, the fourth and fifth symphonies of Scriabin, arranged for two pianos. Svetlana Smolina had the idea to do those with the prominent trumpet part, again taken up by one of our From the Top alums, the Peruvian young man Elmer Chirampi. The Messiaen concert was a reenactment of a concert that I had seen Messiaen himself give back at New England Conservatory when I was a student. He and his wife, Yvonne Loriot, played the Vision de la Men for two pianos, and that was followed by a second half, the quartet for the End of Time. Again, we had a From the Top alum, Caroline Golding, on violin, John Broussier, a friend of mine from Tanglewood many years ago, who's now principal of the Chicago Symphony on clarinet, and Matt Heimovitz, my dearest collaborator and friend, playing cello. Matt also played all of the six Bach cello suites, each with a commissioned overture. V.J. Iyer, Roberto Sierra, Matt's wife Luna Pearl Wolf, Philip Glass. And those were extraordinary pieces. We actually did half of the suites at Domo. That was outdoors, and so that'll be something streamed on the web. It'll be an incredible visual and just incredible sound that Mickey Houlihan, our head engineer, got there. So a lot of the programming this summer was directly inspired, almost DJ'd by the artists themselves. So it's been pretty amazing. And of course we have, I think, thanks to Peter's ingenuity and exploration and research, we have some of the best pianos on earth. We have CD18, which was the Steinway on which Vladimir Horowitz recorded all the Rachmaninoff concertos. We have a couple of others rebuilt, one nicknamed Serafina, a Steinway Concert Grand from 1896, which is my own personal favorite, and basically, you know, five fantastic concert grands, all Steinways in the hall. When Stephen Huff came to play his recital, he had never experienced the wealth of choice and quality of the instruments as he experienced here. He loved the concert hall. As I said, everybody who's been here has really been sort of flabbergasted by it.
You mentioned early on in talking about the festival that you want this to be a bucket list destination. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, it's, you know, as I say, the seating capacity is somewhat small, but I think, you know, everyone who has experienced this place and the artists who have come here have all experienced this idea of, well, just the experience of, you know, playing in this magnificent concert hall. A lot of times, I think, you know, playing in a beautiful geographic location is sometimes compromised by expedient concert situations. I'll just let it go at that. I think what we've created here is a place that any great capital in the world would be very proud to boast in terms of not only the instrument collection, but the acoustics themselves. So yeah, it's a bucket list destination because there really aren't that many places as wonderful to play in as this.
So there is a hint of wistfulness and melancholy in your voice as this is all wrapping up. Tell me about that. Have you felt a sense of maybe a spiritual connection or some kind of change in yourself since you've been here?
Well, everybody's experienced that. I've had the privilege of being here as the place was being constructed. We did some private concerts for the installation and construction crews of the various sculptures as they went up. So I got to spend time with the sculptor Mark de Souvereau when we installed his piece, Beethoven's Quartet. We had the Ariel String Quartet come up and play the Heilige Dankgesang movement from Opus 132 in the shadow of Mark's piece. When Mark's proverb was installed, we had a nice old Steinway B, and when we discovered that Mark's a huge Schubert fan, I was there playing the last Schubert, you know, the B-flat sonata, under this beautiful orange sort of metronome of steel, and apparently there was an eagle, you know, keening around in the background all during that performance. So there have been some amazing moments leading up to the construction of the concert hall, and they've only multiplied as we've had different personalities bring their musicality and artistry and their enthusiasm to this place, and a lot of people have really come to find that this is a place they really just don't want to leave. You know, we've had a lot of big city artists who have been trepidatious about spending time where it's just so quiet, it's unlike any place else on earth, and they just don't want to leave once you get here. I'm happily living in Los Angeles in a house that they'll have to carry me out of in a box, but I haven't missed my house in Los Angeles for 3 months. I've been here all that time. Did a run out to Denver for a Bach concerto, and I was really hard-pressed to leave this place for a second. So, and I think everybody who's performed here and experienced the concerts here has the same feeling.
So what is your hope for the future of this festival as the artistic director? And I mean, it's really kind of a family atmosphere, I sense, with all the people who are working here and the founders, Peter and Kathy.
It's a wonderful team that we have in place. And there are some initial and sort of seminal plans for the future, we do have in place a 3-year commissioning agreement with the American composer and dear friend Aaron J. Kernis. So next year we'll most likely have a movement of a multi-movement piano work. So that will be premiered here. Another string quartet, probably for the Borromeo Quartet in the second year, and then a sort of a Pierrot-sized ensemble, perhaps again with texts, you know, locally inspired. So that's one long-range plan. You know, we've had such great experiences with all of our artists, and now they're going out back into the world and saying, well, you know, this really is a place you should experience, and there's really no place else like it on earth. Well, I think we'll have a very good chance of having, you know, the best and the brightest, which is what we've always striven for in our programming, coming to Tippett Rise in future years. There's something to be said for the culmination of art, architecture, landscape, and music that could never have happened without the single-minded and impassioned vision of Peter and Kathy Hallstedt. This has been a dream of theirs for some time, and they've assembled, you know, the best construction crew, the best acoustician. I think this has been a very, very well thought out and now very well implemented vision and dream.
And that's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julie Amacher.